Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Hal Lacey is here, too. Harold R. Lacey is one of our top experts in the Brain Trust over the years on getting financing for our small businesses in maybe less than traditional ways, especially dealing with investors and especially dealing with angel investors. And he's the author of Other People's Money, and he's been helping small business owners to do this for a long time. And as I said, he's one of the original members of our Brain Trust, even though we haven't talked to him in a while. Hal Lacey, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk to you
and be with you.
It's
good to have you back, as always, and we have missed you on the show.
Good.
Hal, I coined a term recently that I call Blasingame's razor, and what that means is that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is not, you know, I heard Hillary Clinton about 10 years ago talking about the health care, maybe more than 10 years ago, I guess, talking about she was trying to get her universal health care program installed. And I heard her say, when somebody said, well, what about small businesses? You know, and she said, well, I can't be bothered with every undercapitalized small business across the country. Well, the thing about it is we're all undercapitalized.
Yeah.
And the reason is not necessarily because we're doing anything bad.
Right.
It's just that there's always some place to put the money, isn't there?
The challenge of growth is the money, and it's really a idiom when you do grow and find out that growth is costing you and precious capital because of the cash flow that is so precious to a small business and to any business. Cash flow is what it's all about, and with the growth, that cash flow tends to start edging out longer and longer and longer or deal with more customers.
Right, exactly, and so the key for small business is to learn how to fund that growth. And one of the things that I pointed out in that same article that I referenced a minute ago is that you get to a point where before you give that proposal to that customer, you need to make sure you know what that amount of growth is going to do to your cash flow. You might not be able to give that proposal.
Absolutely, and because with the investors, you need to be on the same page that before you go into angel investing and you take that check, there has to be an agreement on what those benchmarks are going to be. And a lot of times the entrepreneur wants to impress the investor by showing a strong growth, but also with that goes future capital requirements and future capital injections.
Absolutely. And so our growth comes from three. Our growth funds, I should say, our capital that we have access to, typically comes from three sources. One are the profits that we create that we leave in the business. Two, bank loans, and three typically are loans, but usually those are from banks.
Mm-hmm.
And the third area is from investors, either from ourselves or from a venture capital firm or from an angel investor. Now, I'd like for you to give us your definition of an angel, Hal.
Sure. An angel is a person that is providing money to the company but does not have the degree of stringent controls that we think of that a venture capitalist has over the running of the company.
Mm-hmm. Venture capitalists typically are a lot more involved in the day-to-day and the milestones of the company, aren't they?
More hands-on, very much involved. And as we've talked about before in previous sessions, the venture capitalist goals sometimes conflict with the entrepreneur's goals,
mm-hmm.
but they acquiesce to the venture capitalist anyway because they want the money.
Especially from an exit strategy standpoint.
Absolutely, and that is one of the things that I'm seeing with some of the pitfalls of angel investors that I'd like to chat about with regards to people that are seeking angel investors and some things to watch out for, because there are some hurdles that the investor needs to be addressed by the owner of the company.
Is it safe to say that is it reasonable to say, Hal, that that angels are more likely to become a little more emotionally invested in the business than a venture capitalist is?
Absolutely.
Meaning that if things need to be done to change midstream to for a little more of a long term approach, that an angel is probably a little more going to be more amenable to that than say a venture capital fund would be.
Absolutely, because usually they have the time and they have more of a passion for that mm-hmm. business. That's the reason that they're getting into it, is that they've identified with the owner and his management style and the company itself and what it's manufacturing or selling or producing.
And sometimes the angel actually is able to bring expertise to the business too.
Yeah, that's one of the side benefits of an angel investor, and it's one of the things I think people overlook, because so many times we all are focused on the money. The money is the brass ring that we're trying to achieve, but one of the side benefits and one of the things that a person should be looking at when they're interviewing angel investors is, what can this angel investor bring to the table other than the money? And when they're interviewing different angel investors, it's important, because sometimes that previous experience is something that may be not needed today, mm-hmm. but down the road. And you should always be planning for those unexpected calls to the angel investor that I need some assistance in this area, such as marketing, finance,
right,
or production.
What happens? What does it look like? You had some examples. You wanted to talk about some examples,
yeah,
of what happens when the angel investor relationship turns bad.
Well, the first thing is, and this starts at the outset. I've seen because angel investors are increasing as a source of the informal side of financing small startup businesses.
So you're seeing it becoming healthier and more robust than it used to be.
Absolutely. I mean, if you go in and Google the term angel investors, you'll come up with over, I believe, 60,000 sources mm-hmm. of different networks and different avenues that are being set up for angel investor networks.
And these are formal organizations. That doesn't include your next-door neighbor who may just be interested in what you're doing.
Which is probably the best source.
Right,
really.
Right.
But it is becoming a growing source for the baby boomers who are, you know, leaving their careers, selling their businesses, and have mm-hmm. excess time and excess money, and they want to be involved.
Hal, hold on to that thought.
Sure.
We're going to come right back with our good friend Hal Lacy, the author of Other People's Money, and we're going to talk about what happens when the angel investor relationship turns the wrong way. Stay with us. 20 after.
Girl, to call my own, I want a dream lover, so I don't have.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out Harold Lacy's position in our Brain Trust, because he's certainly there from way back when I think he's maybe one of the early members of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Other People's Money, which, Hal, is still available on Amazon, isn't it?
That's right.
And I encourage you to check it out, Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. It's a good book, and it's become very popular over the years. Hal, we were talking about angel investors, and I think your exact quote to me was, when angel financing turns into the devil, what
yeah.
does that look like?
Well, a lot of it, you know, because there's the focus is on the money, what I'm seeing is a trend, a small trend, but something I think the angel investors need to be aware of, that the deal is consummated and finished only, emphasizing only, when the check is in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Anything and everything imaginable can possibly happen before that angel investor writes the
and
check.
Usually and usually does.
And the problem that comes with that is you've gone ahead and made commitments for supplies or
right.
signed an additional lease. You made commitments based upon that angel investor's verbal commitment to fund it, but anything can happen. Cold feet and the use of the wicked partner, the other investments are requiring that they can't fund it. So,
or what happens? One of the things I've seen over the years happen is that there's an amount of money that is requested and that is discussed and that is agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
But when the check actually appears, it's maybe half that.
Yeah.
There's for some reason, a lot of times the amount that actually shows up, something comes up in the life of the angel, or something happens that competes with you for that money, and it may be you may get some money, but it may be a lot less than what you thought.
And those things that come up can be either real or fictitiously created, because
right.
they get cold feet.
Right.
There's just something there that's happened between the initial discussion and the usual excitement, the reality of what can happen to the money.
So you're saying don't commit the hamburger till you know you got the beef.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because
right.
the process of getting that angel investor on board, committed, and having a written agreement and familiar with the company, it's a time process. And sometimes the owner, the entrepreneur, gets too overly excited and starts making some financial commitments prior
right.
to when things are being actually funded.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, I'm seeing, too, with the angel investors is they're putting in negative covenants for the business, such as that you cannot obtain bank borrowing without my approval because it would dilute their equity ownership.
Right.
Things like that are things to watch out for, because
it wouldn't so much dilute the ownership position, but it would make them subordinate to the bank.
Subordinate to the bank.
They even though they came in first, the angel would become subordinate to the bank, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and because the bank is going to take priority interest in that collateral in that company.
Right.
And
right.
And I really think that dilutes your equity or your ownership.
Well, yeah, no, it does. It certainly puts you in, it jeopardizes your investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that.
So basically, what you're saying is when you go into an angel relationship, be sure that you somehow anticipate the need for borrowing money and tell your angel, now look, you know, we're going to need more capital at some point, and unless you bring it in, I'm going to have to go to the bank.
Absolutely, because. You know, as we talked about earlier, in talking about growth, it requires more capital. It's just one of the facets that's associated with growth. It's a hard thing to realize because they think it'll all be funded by profits, but the cash flow tends to get delayed as they grow and get bigger. And you need to have as many sources available to you and not to rely strictly on the angel investor.
Right.
Because the bank financing is much cheaper. And they have less control over your company, but they do take that collateral preference.
Right, exactly. And they also require a debt service.
Right, exactly.
With interest, which typically the angel would not.
Yeah.
All right.
And along that same line, too, you know, with the angel investor, they usually are sitting on the board of directors. And it's imperative that they be on the same page as far as what the long-term expectations of the company are, and there's a clear understanding with the entrepreneur and angel investor, because decisions are being made on an ongoing basis about the future of the company on the day-to-day decision-making process, and that the angel investor might have a different time frame of
mm-hmm.
when he wants to get his liquidity or his money repaid than the angel or the entrepreneur himself. So,
well, and that's a classic conflict between any investor,
mm-hmm.
isn't it, and the entrepreneur.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important. And entrepreneurs sometimes are reluctant to discuss a lot of these different areas because they're afraid that something might come up where there will be a disagreement between the angel investor and the entrepreneur that would jeopardize them
mm-hmm.
being the funding source. And so they tend not to get into a lot of details because they're so focused on the money.
Harold, we've got to wrap it up for this time, but will you come back again real soon and talk to us about this some
always.
More? It's always a pleasure to have you here. Harold Lacy, ladies and gentlemen, Harold R. Lacy is the name of the book, Other People's Money. Thank you very much, Harold. See you next time. Quick break, right back with our good friend Ed Yordan after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
And to make the darkness bright, only.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.